We're so thankful to be here, so honored to worship the Lord with you. And as we celebrate Father's Day, I'm reminded of Jesus' words to us where he says that if our earthly fathers would give us good gifts, how much more would our heavenly Father give us good gifts? And that is so true. He has lavished his love on us by sending his only son, and he's been so good to us. So would you stand with us? As it says in Psalm 68, 4 through 5, sing praises to God and to his name. Sing loud praises to him who rides the clouds. His name is the Lord. Rejoice in his presence. Father to the fatherless, defender of widows. This is God whose dwelling is holy. So let's praise him today for all of who he is.
It's who you are, and I'm loved by you.
Thank you so much for the cross. Thank you so much, Father, for the love that you have for us, that you lavish on us, and that you're smiling on us because of Jesus and what he's done for us on the cross. And we just thank you for that today. And God, we know your presence is here, and we ask that you would speak to us and that you would open our hearts to hear from you this morning. And we love you so much, Jesus, and we praise you for being a good Father to us. Yeah, we ask this in your name, Lord. Amen.
Coming up through here, wanted to see everybody up close and personal. All right, let's give our worship team a round of applause. That was amazing. That was great. One of my favorite things about that song we just sung is how it says, it is finished, right? What Jesus says on the cross. And what I love about that is that, you know, when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't say it started or it's beginning. He said, like, it's finished, right? The work of salvation is over, which is amazing and a great reminder for us. So we got some exciting things going on here at Squim Community Church to draw your attention to. The first one would be our summer programming. So just check your bulletins, check your Check our website for what's going on here. We have kids programs. We have youth programs. I hear the youth pastor is pretty cool. That's the word on the street. Few people think so, so that's good. I'm Keith, by the way. I'm the youth pastor, in case that wasn't obvious. So a couple things going on this summer, regular programming, and we also have our camps that are going on for children and youth. Those are in July and August, so you can check our website for that. We also have baptisms next Sunday. I would highly encourage you all to come out for those. That will be 1 o'clock, Port Williams Beach. We have 10 youth who are getting baptized, and then Rick also has some adults who are getting baptized, so really great, super opportunity for us as a church to do our mission, which is the Great Commission and making disciples of all people. We also have, over in the other building, we just finished up our renovation of the sanctuary. It looks amazing. Thank you all for those who have donated to that and put in your time to do that. I would highly recommend, maybe after the service, just go take a peek in. It looks incredible. I think you're going to be impressed. So why don't we all just kind of look around and wave at each other and say, you know, good morning. Greet each other in the peace of Christ. We're getting very close, I think, to being able to do handshakes, but we'll wait on that for another week or two. So I made our scripture readers work really hard this week, and we're going to see. I think they're going to do an amazing job, but we'll see. I think we have a video scripture reader of Nikki going to be reading our scripture passage. So we'll turn it over to Nikki here.
Good morning, SCC family. Today's scripture reading is from Matthew 1, 1 through 16, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. This is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar, Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam father of Abijah, Abijah the father of Asa, Asa the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat the father of Jehoram, Jehoram the father of Uzziah, Uzziah the father of Jotham, Jotham the father of Ahaz, Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, Manasseh the father of Amon, Amon the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah, and his brothers at the time to the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel the father of Abihud, Abihud the father of Eliakim, Eliakim the father of Azor, Azor the father of Zadok, Zadok the father of Achim, Achim the father of Eliad, Eliad the father of Eleazar, Eleazar the father of Matthan, Matthan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah.
Just before you all think, wow, Keith is really mean, I did offer to read that, but Nikki said, I'm going to do it, and she did a great job. So great work, Nikki. So let's go to God in prayer here. Gracious Lord and Creator, I want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you that we can just come here and worship you. And God, as we just dwell on your word and on the message that's going to be presented, we ask that whatever is said here would be your words, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be a pleasing offering to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, so I want to start our sermon off with a bit of an activity today. So I'm going to name something from the past, and I want you to raise your hand if you've ever had one of these things before. So I'm going to name a past product. You raise your hand if you've ever had it. All right, we're going to start super easy here. A CD. Who's had a CD before? Okay, pretty much everybody. That's good. That's good. Me too. How about a floppy disk? Floppy disk. Who's had a floppy disk before? All right. Almost everybody. Good. Few less hands on that one. We're going to get a little bit harder now. How about a record player? Record player? All right. Typewriter. Okay. This next one, I didn't even know was a thing until I looked it up. Green stamps? Who had some of those? Like a reward, the first rewards program, pretty cool. All right, how about a Brownie camera? Okay, all right. And last one, I had to verify this because I thought someone was pulling my leg on the internet. But a milk chute? Did anyone have one of those growing up? Nobody. Oh, one person, well, a couple people in the back. Yeah, apparently it's like a door on your house that the milkman could put the milk in, and then you would like open up the other side and grab the milk out of when milk was, you know, milk deliveries are still a thing. Super interesting. And it can be amazing to take a trip into our memories. And I think today is a great day to dwell on what's happened before. This is a Sunday where, of course, we remember our fathers and our father figures who have shaped us. And it's also where we remember where we've come as a church. Over in the other building, we're doing our celebration of the sanctuary that has just been refreshed and kind of looking back at the last 30 years of how far we've come. And as we look backward, we recognize that the past has power. I mean, it's open activity. Some of the things I mentioned, you may have some fond memories with. I know I do, thinking about CDs and making a mixtape and how great those were and playing those in the car on the way to sports games or different things. And when we start to think about other parts of our past, certain moments can bring us tears of sorrow, but other moments can bring us tears of joy. Memories can give us a sense of regret or a sense of peace. Remembrance can bring us hurt or it can bring us healing. The past is never really gone. It still shapes us to this day. And this is something the scripture writers understood. The New Testament is filled with references to things that have gone, that have happened before. Things like the law, the prophets, or what we read today, a genealogy. Now, I get it. Genealogies are usually the parts of the Bible that we skip. Because it's just we feel like it's just a long list of names that we can't pronounce. And just a side note here, if you ever have to say one of these names, my advice to you, say it confidently. Because if you don't know how to pronounce a name in a genealogy, odds are nobody else in the room knows how to pronounce it either. So when you get to a name, you know, and you say it really confidently, everyone else will be like, whoa, I thought that was said Jehoiakim, but he said Jeff, so it must be Jeff. So we'll call it Jeff from now on. And I understand that genealogies aren't the most exciting parts of Scripture, but they're there for a reason. Right? God put them in the Bible for a reason. And one of those reasons is to remind us what has happened before, to show us how the people of the past have shaped the world the scripture writers find themselves in. You know, while this list was being read, you probably recognize some of these names. Names like Abraham, or Isaac, or Jacob, or Rahab, or Ruth, or David, or Solomon. People who have shaped the world in a lot of good ways. You have Abraham and his trust in God that would lead to the formation of the Jewish people. You have Ruth and her faithfulness to her family, being faithful despite difficult circumstances. You have David and his bravery to face a giant. And it's all these positive actions that have helped shape the world Matthew finds himself in. In the same way, we all have a list of names in our past that have shaped our personal world. And some of these people are related to us by blood. People like fathers, or mothers, or siblings, or aunts, or uncles, or grandparents, or great-grandparents. And some of the people who have shaped us in the past aren't biologically connected to us, but have still had a big impact on making us who we are. People like teachers and coaches and mentors and friends. We all have individuals from the past who have helped create who we are. And part of that shaping has been positive. Maybe we had grandparents who trusted in God and had passed that belief onto us. Maybe we had parents who showed us what a faithful family looks like. Maybe we had mentors and teachers who helped us face the giants in our own lives. When I think of my own journey, I recognize that so many of my successes have come about because of what past generations have done for me. The only reason I was able to go to college and eventually go on to get a master's degree is because I had grandparents who taught me the value of hard work, because I had parents who helped fund my education, because I had teachers who inspired in me a willingness to learn. We've all had people in our lives who have helped us get where we are today. I mean, even us as a church, it's come about because of all the hard work and dedication of past generations. This building we're sitting in is because of people in the past who have donated their time and their money to create something so incredible. We all have so much to be grateful for and so much to celebrate because of the generations who have come before us. And hopefully, this gratitude turns into compassion for others. Compassion when we recognize that perhaps the only reason we're farther along than somebody else is because of those who have gone before us. Because of our parents, our grandparents, our teachers, our coaches, church members, because of their hard work, their faithfulness, their dedication. And hopefully, that compassion allows us to plant for future generations, to be that positive impact for those who are going to come after us. There's a story that Max Lucado uses in one of his books, which I absolutely love. It's about a man by the name of Stefan, and he's a tree farmer in Germany. And the tree he harvests were planted 180 years ago by his great-grandfather. Let me say it again. The trees he sells were planted 180 years ago. And his great-grandparents, they didn't have to do that. They could have just cut down the trees they had, sold them. It would have made their lives so much easier not to have to plant new trees. But they didn't do that. They planted in the past so that future generations could reap the benefits. And in the same way, the people in our past have all been planting. They've planted things like faithfulness and hope and love and godliness. And it's us in the future that we reap the benefits. We reap the fruits of their hard labor. And we should be the people that continue to plant these things. Plant them in our homes, in our communities, in our churches, so that future generations, they're going to find good things in their life. They're going to find love and joy and godliness. The past has shaped us all in positive ways. But if we're honest, it's also impacted us in some pretty negative ways as well. What I love about Scripture is that the writers never pull their punches. They're very honest about what's happened. And we see this in the genealogy we read. Matthew includes some people in this list who, to be quite awful, are pretty terrible people. They've done really bad things. He includes people like Jehoram, Rehoboam, Azaz, Jehoiakim, kings who engaged in things like murder, and idol worship, and oppression of the people. And even some of the best characters, they have their flaws. Abraham, Jacob, David, they weren't perfect. Abraham lacked trust in God with Hagar. Jacob cheated on his own brother. David became unfaithful with Bathsheba, which Matthew himself even draws attention to in the genealogy. And these mistakes shape the world the gospel writers find themselves in. The flaws of the past kings meant that the Jewish people went into exile, and they eventually become occupied by the Romans. The unfaithfulness of religious leaders meant that the priests and Pharisees of Jesus' time rejected the herding instead of embracing them. The flaws of previous generations introduced pain and suffering and brokenness to the world. The sins of the past meant that humanity needed a savior. And if we're honest, the past has shaped us all in some pretty negative ways as well. Maybe we had teachers who crushed our creativity. Maybe we had bosses who left us feeling discouraged. Maybe we had family members who passed on patterns of pain. You know, for some of us, Father's Day is this great day of joy where we celebrate what an amazing father we had. But for other people, it's a day of pain. It's a day of sadness. For some, it's a day where they remember the flaws of their fathers. They remember fathers who were cruel and demeaning, or fathers who addictions and unfaithfulness caused pain, or fathers who just weren't around. And whether we had amazing or atrocious fathers, whether we had terrific or terrible family members, whether we've had positive or painful church experiences, the truth is we all have some pain in our past. And I know we all have some pain in our past because the generations before us, they were imperfect. They were flawed. They were human. After all, as the saying goes, to err is human. And when we recognize that our past hasn't been perfect, I think it should give us some compassion for ourselves. Compassion because we recognize that maybe the issues we're struggling with, they're not because of our mistakes or limitations. The current problems and sufferings in our lives might be the product of generations of people. We don't always have to be so hard on ourselves. We can find self-empathy and self-compassion because perhaps the pain in your life isn't your fault. It might not be your fault, but I think it can be your responsibility. It's not your fault that others have passed suffering on to you, but as we grow and mature, I firmly believe that it becomes our responsibility to figure out how to deal with that pain in effective and positive ways so that we don't continue to pass that pain on to the next generation. Perhaps the generations before you didn't plant good things. When you look out on the field of your life, maybe you don't see love or joy or peace. Maybe you see addictions and anxieties. Maybe you see hatred and hurt. Maybe you see bitterness and brokenness. You might have the suffering of generations growing in your life. But you don't have to let those things continue to grow. You can be the person that rips that pain out by the roots. You can be the person who stops generations of suffering. You can be the one who passes on a better legacy to the future. It won't be easy, but you can give those who are going to come after you a better life. And of course, we never have to do this healing process on our own. The writers of Scripture, they include genealogies to help us remember the past, and even more importantly, they include them to show God's work. They include these genealogies to show us what God has been up to. The people in Scripture, they did some pretty amazing things, and they also did some pretty awful things. But God's work wasn't dependent on human success, and human failing couldn't stop God. God used both good and bad to accomplish his purpose. And Matthew, at the very beginning of his gospel, has us look back at what has happened before to remind us what it's all been about, what it's all been leading towards. Jesus. This list of names is not a story of failure. It's not a story of how humans messed up, how they weren't good enough. Instead, it's a story of how God works in human weakness, how God has love and compassion for his children even when they mess up. How God is love and compassion for us, especially when we mess up. God can use anything to accomplish amazing things. He can use the faithfulness of fathers to help us grow in our faith. He can use the hard work of a church to impact a community. And we celebrate the faithfulness of the past. But God can also use challenges and difficulties to accomplish his plans. The betrayal of Joseph's brothers in Egypt put him in a position to help all of Egypt. Perhaps the betrayal of your family members places you in position to help those around you. Silas and Paul's time behind bars led to the salvation of an entire family. Perhaps your time behind the bars of fear and anxiety gives you compassion for others and leads to their salvation. One of the most horrific events in the Bible, the death of Jesus, the death of someone who is truly innocent, led to the resurrection of humankind. God can use anything in the past to make a better future. And God does more than just use the past to shape the present and the future. He also uses the present to reshape the past. God uses the present to reshape the past. What God gives us in the present, his grace, his love, his mercy, those things work not just proactively impacting our future. They also work retroactively rewriting our past. What God is doing in our present life, it can stretch backward, impacting what has happened before. Maybe we've been holding a grudge for so long. Maybe we just feel so angry and bitter at what someone has done to us. But when God starts to work in our heart in the present, when he gives us that forgiveness and grace, then we can look back on the past and we see that what the other person did, it was something not out of malice, not out of spite, but it was just a simple human mistake. Or perhaps we've been so hard on ourselves for our past failings, we just beat ourselves up with regret. But when God works on our present, when he gives us that self-empathy and self-compassion, we're able to look back on the past and see that we were just doing the best we could at the time. Or perhaps when we look back in the past and we've seen all these sufferings, all these hurts, and we think that for a long time it was without purpose, that it just seemed random. But when God works on our heart in the present, maybe we're able to look back on the past and we see that all those things have been building us into the people that we needed to be today. As we look back on what's happened before, we're going to find some pain, but I think also we're going to find a lot of joy. So I would encourage us, let's heal what needs to be healed, but let's also celebrate what needs to be celebrated. The past is power, and when we give ourselves to God, he can positively reshape our past, present, and future. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear gracious Lord and Creator, I want to thank you so much that you're a God who hears our requests, that you're a God who we don't have to shout to, we don't have to find on mountaintops, but instead that you're a God who's here with us right now in this very place. You're a God who wants to be here with us. And God, as we all think about our past and just the memories and the experiences we have there, God, we just ask that in those painful moments, you'll give us peace, you'll give us mercy and grace. And in those positive moments, God, let us just find some celebration. Let us just be happy about all those great things you've put there. And now, in the words of the Church Father, St. Augustine, let us trust the past to God's mercy, the present to God's love, and the future to God's providence. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name. Name it is the name of Jesus.
powerful name. Oh, what a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a powerful name. Lord, thank you, Jesus. He's so good. And so as we go out of here this morning, let's rejoice how Jesus, that Jesus stepped into the scene in our stories, in our genealogy, and he changed everything. He changed our whole story. Yeah, and he loves us, and he is just worth rejoicing over today. So let's celebrate our Heavenly Father who has been so good to us. So have a blessed Sunday. Amen.